I wanted to do something tonight a little different. I really haven't been watching the news or reading the paper, and hardly at all. But I have noticed, as the week's gone on, that somebody's trying to make Jim Martino look like a bad guy real hard. And the honest, I watched some of the video. I hadn't seen the whole meeting on video, but I saw some of it, and I heard some of the sound bites, and I was like, yeah, so that doesn't really sound that bad. Well, no, I'm certainly not. I get it when you can go through a lot of scriptures in the four Gospels where Jesus said this. He said, you have heard it said, that you shouldn't murder. But you have heard it said, but I say unto you, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. So he was always saying it in this way. You have heard it said, but I say to you. And I thought of that phrase that Jesus used so much because I think it applies to Jim this week. You have heard it said that he's a mean guy and he's a monster and all these things you've been hearing this week in Tulsa. But just because you've heard it said doesn't mean that's true. Sometimes things you've heard and believed all your life may not be true. And nobody ever told you the right way. What you've heard someone say may not be true. Then you think, well, let me listen to what somebody else says. Yeah, but the emphasis here, Jesus says, but I say to you. If I hear somebody else say something, let's say about Jim, I want to check in with the Lord in my heart and say, Lord, because that's what I've done for about a day and a half, is Lord, okay, did he really? Because I know he's capable. All of us are capable of, don't you know, flying off the handle, whatever. And I said, but there's something about it. I wasn't there, but I know there's something more to this. Well, I think we've uncovered, of course, several things since then, and we'll talk about them in context with learning some things from the scriptures tonight. But you have to say, Jesus, what do you say? I have heard it said, here's a headline, Tulsa World, Martino erupts at meeting. Okay, I've heard that said. The mayor on Channel 6 this morning said Martino went ballistic. Okay, quote unquote, and I have heard that said. But I went to Jesus and I said, Jesus, what do you say? Because I want to know. I know any man, Jim's capable of going ballistic or erupting. Is that what happened, first of all? And I'd like for you to tell me before I start hearing all the information. And I have to say, I didn't get the Lord saying he was displeased or that Jim had done something wrong. That's what I didn't get that from the Lord. Now, he could have, or I could miss it. Maybe he did, and I just love Jim so much and for him that I can't hear the Lord telling me that information very well. But let's go over a couple of things. Let's say the Tulsa World was correct and Jim Martino did erupt. What would Jesus do? Did Jesus ever erupt? Jesus did. Matter of fact, he said, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. And he fulfilled that scripture in the temple. And zeal means hot. He got hot. Is it always a bad thing to erupt? It seems like in our culture right now, you talked about politically correct. Oh, you could never erupt. If you erupt, then that's worse than whatever the issue was you erupted over. Nonsense. But isn't that the what they're preaching today in this satanic morality? This is a new morality that's being espoused. That's a demonic morality. It's good, but it's not God. And if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, evil's on the same tree with good, you shall surely die. We are to eat and partake of the tree of life, which is received only through the Spirit of God. So, you know, I'm sitting here kind of meditating these things, and I thought about the scripture in Ephesians that says, be angry and sin not. So I'm thinking, okay, here it is out in public. They got video, they got newspaper, you know, quotes and all that. Jim got angry. Did you get angry, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and he freely admits that. But did he sin? That scripture tells me it's possible to be angry but not sin. If just getting angry is a sin, then God sins all the time. God's pretty angry at certain things, and that's that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people of Israel. I mean, you go back and read the Old Testament.
He just turned over the tables and took out a whip and beat them.
And he premeditated it. He wove that whip. He weaved that thing the night before in Bethany, and he premeditated what he was going to do in fulfilling that scripture that day. So these are things we got to take into context. And I'm not trying to let a friend of mine off the hook or anything. I'm trying to learn something. I'm trying to use what happened, because it's all over, you know, the media and all, as a good way to start the conversation tonight and look at some things and learn from it. Let's look, because I think we can investigate a couple things and get to the bottom of some stuff tonight. And I like doing that. How many of you, here's another little demonic morality that's being inserted into the minds of the American public. Some people believe it's the duty of elected officials, it's kind of their job to compromise and work together. Is that always the case, or is that the goal, to compromise and work together? They're even saying that in Washington with this debt ceiling, or if they would just only... You know, their problem is they just won't compromise and work together. That's worse than trillions of dollars of debt and people who want to steal the money of all the Americans. Is that right? No. Wait a second. The job, the goal of the people who elected someone and put them up there to do the job, they want them to do the right thing. And sometimes, obviously, compromise can come into play if you're working something out. I mean, if we sat here right now and say, hey, after the meeting tonight, let's go out to and grab a bite to eat. Well, some of y'all might want to go to Denny's, and some might want to go to IHOP, and some might want to go to, you know, Hamburger Joint or something. And we would work it out, and we really want to be together more than we care about what kind of food it is, so we would just finally compromise on that, and we'd accomplish the goal of fellowshipping together. Well, some things are that way. But some of this stuff, it's we must do the right thing. We've got to stop our country from, you know, going bankrupt, if we can. So, I mean, that's more important than compromising or showing all of our friends that we can work with somebody else. No, there are certain things you do not compromise on. The real job is go to the Constitution, find out what it says, and there's your answer. Do we do this or not? Do we do that or not? What does it say? Same thing with Christianity. You go to the scriptures, find out what they say, and there's the answer to what you're trying to do. Not, how can I compromise, you know, with other people? That's not where we gather our final determination from. We gather it from what the scripture says, or what, in our American government, what is constitutional, or what's lawful that's already been in the law.
It seems to me that, and I think this pretty well started back in the civil rights movement, that we have been taught that the worst thing that you can do, we've been taught by social activist people who had an agenda to try to put guilt on us, that the worst thing you can possibly do is to be intolerant.
Yeah.
And they pushed it to past any sensible limit at all, to where anything that anybody else does, particularly if they are different than you are in by race or ethnicity or religion or anything else, that that you are just about as low as it can get if you're not, if you just don't tolerate everything.
Well, and then that comes down to immorality, gay marriage, yeah, homosexual marriage, whatever.
The worship of relativism.
Exactly, which the founders never meant by creating a environment where people could be free and tolerate each other if they disagreed, things like that. That wasn't at all what they were trying to accomplish, but that's been redefined and everything like this. I want you to, we're going to look at a couple Proverbs here and talk about, continue this line here of thinking. In Proverbs 18, verse 17, this is one of my favorite Proverbs. And the King James Bible is a little bit obscure here. We'll read that, but I want to give it to you in a couple other versions also.
Was that 18?
1817 was a very good year, I'm sure. All right? It says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Okay, what does that mean? Well, here's a couple of other translations. This is a New Living Translation. It's not the Living Bible. It's an actual translation called the New Living Translation. It says, "The first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins." You ever watch a TV show and it's like, I believe that. And then all of a sudden the other lawyer gets up and starts asking a few questions. You go, wait a second. Wow, I was so easily sucked into seeing something a certain way. Well, the Bible says that's very true. And the Living Bible actually says this. Every story sounds true till someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. So when I see Tulsa World, Jim Montino erupts in meeting. Or I hear the mayor say, Montino went ballistic on those people. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, those people should have been fired.
I went ballistic on him,
too. Okay, well, you're consistent. You're consistent. But here's the deal. What they didn't show was other meetings leading up to that. They didn't show, you didn't see in a quick sound bite or video bite the obstinance of those individuals who are employees. They have a job they're supposed to do, and they simply won't do their job. And you didn't see any of that. Let's look at another quick scripture, and then I'm going to get Jim in on this a little, because I asked him a couple questions earlier, and I was kind of leading to this. This is in Proverbs 13, in verse 10. Let's investigate something here. It says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." Only by pride cometh contention. There was contention in that meeting. Let me first of all ask this. Can contention be, obviously contention can be evidenced in anger and saying things, pounding the table or something. But can contention be expressed with silence or with just a small look on your face or with a rolling of the eye or... Okay, yeah. So if you look to the demeanor, you're looking very shallow. You're not really going to get the whole story here. Here's the deal. Only by pride cometh contention. So let's investigate a little bit. Where was pride in that situation? And because one of the sound bites, I heard just a little statement that helped me get it. I understood. As soon as I heard that little statement, I said, there it is. There's the pride. Okay? So, Jim, why don't you, where do you think the pride comes in to that in that situation that would result in contention?
Thing that drove me to it. It was
mm-hmm. happening. Some of the counselors would just get up and walk out. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to handle that because anything that has to do with pets is...
Yeah. It's not a good campaign yeah. for later. Yeah.
But for 3.5 years, even before I got into counselor, we've had someone in the neighborhood that's running a kennel under the guise of a hobby permit. And I don't want to go into explaining all the hobby permit, but it does state in that hobby permit you cannot be a breeder. This lady breeds poodles and sells them anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a piece. So it's a business. You can't have that. That's not the intent of that license. And it's unenforceable because it says that you can have more than 3 dogs. Anybody is allowed 5 animals, 3 dogs, 2 cats. And if you want to have a hobbyist permit, but those 5 animals have to be spayed or neutered. That law was put in somewhere in 89. So then there was people like me. I showed dogs, and I had dogs, and I wanted to carry on to breed. So the change made in the ordinance, they came out, they did away with the hobbyist, with the private kennel, and they said, okay, in the hobby permit, we're going to allow you to have more than 3 dogs, but you can't have more than 3 dogs out at any one time. That's unenforceable.
Unenforceable. And basically, there's an maximum law. Okay,
so
if you can't enforce it, it
has no strength of law. So let me ask you a couple questions here. Here's a question. Because they made those rules before you were on the city council, okay, and let's say you get elected to the city council and you don't like those rules. You want to have 4 dogs and 5 cats or something. I mean, why not just do that and tell people, oh, that's okay. Do, you know, however many dogs you want to have. What, in other words, as a person who's been put in a position of delegated authority, you represent whatever the law is, whatever the rule is, that's your job is to make sure that that's the way we do it. Now, what happens is, and what we discussed is, when there's an employee who doesn't agree with the policy, the very person who's supposed to be enforcing the policy doesn't like nor agree with the policy, you have a real problem. Unless they have enough morality and honesty about them that they'll do it, and maybe they will encourage some other citizens to go through the channels to change that ordinance to, you know, they've got ways to, you begin the process and then maybe they could vote on it later and change that. But that's how you do it. You don't stonewall and drag your feet and don't do your job for long periods of time, and that's what was going on here, that obviously media doesn't have a chance to see all that. So yeah,
what I wanted to say, you asked where the pride came from. It came from the fact that Midget and Letcher were there. They did not want to follow the rules. They were angered with the fact that they...
And the counselors had told me that they didn't want me to put it on until right. I had this meeting. So I had the meeting. Now they're coming on this Tuesday saying the same thing. Well, you need to put it off. And so I'm having another meeting at 8:30 in the morning, Friday morning. And we're going to have them back in because now they've changed their mind. They want
but,
more than 5.
But here's the point. The pride that results in contention is in that, let me say it this way. Those who disagreed felt justified in their disagreement because they believe, you know, animals are important and all that. And it's fine. But here's the thing. We're undermining the system, and in the process of this, an employee, if they disagree with something, they can't just decide to not do it. They should get fired for that, you know, if they're not doing it. They have to continue doing what their job is. If there's something they could go through proper channels and try to change it if they want to. But what's happening is the pride of, I know the ordinance says that, But I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to do that. But basically, that becomes a point at which pride has resulted in contention. And the contention then wasn't coming. Your frustration was at their contention, not that you...
A year and a half, I've been trying to get...
Exactly. And once I heard just something on the audio that clued me in, and I finally saw it. They want to be a policymaker, but their position is not a policymaker. If you want to be a policymaker, run for city council. Of course, you're not going to make it, and they know that. So instead, they want to usurp your authority by whatever means they can, because they disagree and feel justified in it for some reason. Randy and then Bill. Yeah. That's the arrogance of a lawless person that we can break the law and get away with it, and you can't do anything about it. Bill, and then over to Jim.
I did look that one up and listen to it today because I thought the headline, I know how papers can do that. Essentially, we're trying to demonize you with the headline. So I thought, I think Bruce really hit on it there. I think positionally they were out of order. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the council makes the laws, correct?
We are the policy makers.
Right.
They are the
legislators.
So you ask them for information, not decisions. You ask them for information.
Yeah, why aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'll take that information along with the other eight, and we'll make policy.
Right.
Yes.
Unfortunately, three walked out, which is really interesting. I can't talk about dogs and cats. Boy, that would say a lot to me about what kind of representative you have. But
they just apparently are afraid something's going to happen that's going to hurt them in the next election.
They're real arrogance by that man and woman. Yeah, I picked up on that meeting. So I thought you behaved very well, brother, and I do think there's a time. And I know you had some anger, and I understand that, and it's easy to get a little bit over the top. I've been there and done that. But I thought
I reacted to his reaction.
Well, I know that. And I knew there had been a lot of meetings and all. And my thought was, well, why are they even here? They're trying to tell you how to run an ad. Can
you imagine a general bringing in some captains, and then the captain's trying to tell the general how to run everything? It's if he asks them for some suggestions, they're welcome to give suggestions. But if they're not going to do, he's just going to replace them if they don't do their job. Here's something important. The way these things really, really work. My wife has an important job. She makes decisions at work. She is very qualified and very well thought of. Has a lot of experience and time and years in it. And she actually has doctors calling her on the phone during the day. And asking her, I have a patient that's breastfeeding, they need to have some medication for this problem. What medications can I give them and what can I not give them that won't affect the breast milk? And she looks it up and tells them, because that's her expertise and that's what she does. So when she comes home at night, sometimes I have to remind her, honey, we're at home now. Because, bless your heart, you're not the boss of me, that kind of thing. How a teacher will kind of get in the mode of telling the kids what to do all day and then go home and try to tell everybody what to do. And it's like, wait a second, we're not in your classroom. You just got to shift and change hats here with me and work with me. This is what we're talking about. And when you've got people who are not in the position of policymaker but are determined to either bow up against you or try to subvert things around that's the problem, not somebody, getting mad about the way they were acting. But again, it makes a great topic to discuss these things.
This is particularly interesting to me, of some of the people that walked out, because it's been a couple of years ago or more than that, maybe even. I went to a city council meeting I used to go to some of them. I just won't go anymore. But Bill Christensen puffed up like a toad and had a little fit and said he was not going to answer any more questions like a petulant little child because he wasn't being shown enough respect by the people that were asking him questions. And I never saw anybody in a public place like that. And, you know, and he can be a nice guy and all that, but that night he acted like a little spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're seeing is a wonderful example of the lack of respect for authority that's come on in, you know, in my lifetime. When I was a youngster, we had a lot more respect for authority, and authority was a lot more even-handed. We didn't tolerate stuff that was outside the bounds of their prerogatives as that. And it's just gotten so out of bounds.
Well, you know, this week, because Cindy having a surgery, I've been hanging around the house and, you know, cooking and doing whatever she needs more than I normally would. And I mean, she has to have help to get up and go use the restroom, all that. So, I mean, you got to have somebody there. And Kyla can do a lot, but Eric's gone this week and here I am. So anyway, I'm doing this stuff. Well, I got a wonderful opportunity to watch TV. And there's not much on TV, if anybody hadn't noticed lately. But I click over here to the NFL channel. It's all old stuff from when I was a kid and stuff, games and stuff. And so it's kind of interesting. And I'm watching it, and the funniest thing struck me. I mean, it was an odd thing. I noticed this because I saw a montage of different important ball games like Super Bowls and stuff. And here's the Cowboys win a Super Bowl back years ago. And they lift Tom Landry up on their shoulders, the coach. And they carry him off the field, honoring him. What do the teams do when they win a ball game now with the coach? They take the Gatorade and they dump it on him. Now, what has happened in just 20, 25 years?
They start wearing suits.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it.
He was in a full suit with that nice hat.
Yeah. But there was an honor, respect, even the fact of that you would give the victory. See, you're the guys out there bleeding and you know, butting heads and all that, but they would even honor their coach and lift him up and say he's our leader. And today they just dump water on him, you know, and all that. Something is changing, and it's the spirit in the land. It's not just a, you know, all cops are bad or all dog breeders are bad or any of that. It's really not. It's the spirit in the land that is undermining authority, undermining the kingdom of God, and how the basic concepts of true authority and honor for authority you got to dismantle all that if you're going to usher in, you know, demonic and satanic things in the land, because authority will put a stop to it. Authority will stand up to it. It will get in its face and say no. That's what you do to a controlling spirit, by the way. You tell it no, no, no. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go, no. You know, I'm talking about how you defeat that thing. A lot of things need to be told no today that have gotten too many yeses over the years.
What brought this up was a week ago, Tuesday, the same woman, Letcher, was at the council meeting, and she kept bringing up unintended consequences. So I asked her, would you please define that? What in this ordinance that we've written is bothering you about unintended consequences? She hem-hawed a little bit, looked in the ordinance, and she says, this and needs to replace. We need to replace that or with an and. And I looked at Drew, our counselor, and council attorney. I said, Drew, is that okay? And he looked at it, and he read it, and he says, yep, that'd be good. And I says, that's fine with me. And then he turns around and asks her, if there are any more areas of unintended consequence, she said no. Okay, she looked around, no. Everything is fine, right? So this past Tuesday, she comes up and the first words out of her mouth is, and what she sent out in all her emails was, this whole ordinance is sorry, it's unintended, this is gonna happen, that's gonna happen,
But this time the TV cameras are there.
That's when I said, that's enough. I've had it, we've been through this. You know, the whole point is we have so many illegal. If you see someone selling puppies on a street corner, it's against our laws. It's a $1,200 fine for you to go sell puppies on the street corner. Happens every day of the week. No, every weekend at the traffic circle. They're up north. They're selling puppies. And honestly, that's a puppy mill. We're the second most prolific puppy mill state in the United States. Missouri beats us. But I'll tell you, if the animal control would be doing their job, they'd be out arresting those people. They wouldn't have a problem with funding.
Well, again, a fundamental disregard for the law. And when I say that, that could mean the Constitution, that could mean the Bible, anything that's absolute truth that we must all answer to as a society, which makes us an orderly society. If lawlessness gets turned loose and it just operates this way, you really don't, why have city councilors? Why have anything? It's all just a free-for-all chaos. And obviously that's not how God operates. I want to go to one last scripture in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, just to talk a little bit again about how these things work. And what we've got to do is be, you know, for years I would go home and say, boy, I wish I'd have thought of that during the meeting. You ever do that?
Yes.
Okay, we got to get to the point of maturity where we think of it during the meeting. And we respond properly in the meeting. Under the influence of God's Spirit, under the influence of God's Word that's been hid in our heart, and we make the, we have the ability to bring the solution right there with authority in spirit. And the more we understand the way these things work, the better our chances are of doing that. Verse 13 and following says this of James 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation or good behavior his works with meekness of wisdom. This means if there is somebody who has, who is a wise man, you're going to see it by how he operates. So here, you know, watching the news or reading the paper, I got to make a determination. By Jim's behavior, it's all over the news, was he behaving himself as a wise man, and was his conversation or his behavior good? Were his works with wisdom or not? Or was he the problem? Well, I'm not saying Jim's not capable of making a mistake. We all make them all the time. But in this case, what was presented by the media was the exact opposite. He wasn't the problem. He was responding. It would be like if I'm sitting in the non-smoking section, I bring my family out to eat, and we're sitting in the non-smoking section, and the person next to us lights up a cigarette right where we're eating our dinner, and I look at him, and I say, excuse me, this is the non-smoking section. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're so intolerant. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, well, I'm just pointing out the fact that you should have sat over there or something, you know, whatever. That's where the devil is trying to take our society into a chaos like that. That's kind of what got pulled on Jim, and it was a setup. It's probably not coordinated or a big conspiracy, but it was a evil spirit setup. It was the devil setup to try, and I think being exploited by individuals for this election. They don't want him back in there, and that's the real agenda behind putting all that on the news and everything. It's pretty, honestly, did you think he erupted? Did you think he went ballistic? He was pretty strong in what he said, but if that wasn't that bad, I thought it was kind of strong. But have you ever seen employers talk to employees with a little bit of? Well, I'm just saying.
A special case.
So.
I didn't say it wasn't deserved.
You got to make these determinations, and sometimes it takes discernment because you don't know all the information or all the details. You weren't there. You got to discern it by your spirit, and these kinds of understanding from the scriptures will help you at those times. We're going to keep reading this, but go ahead, Bill.
Well, I just to me, the story that they really should have told was three counselors that didn't have enough integrity to stay in there. Let's say they were totally 100% opposed to what you're going to say. What does that have to do with anything? The civilians being, you know?
Yeah. It's their job. It's their job to sit there and be involved in it. Yeah.
You know, then tell them how you disagree.
I don't like taking cheering from a customer who's dissatisfied, but I
think they did was they actually undercut work on it if you looked at them, but they were undercutting another counselor, and while he was doing his job, you know.
You ever see the movie Serpico? Al Pacino? All the other policemen stayed back and let him get shot by the drug dealer. They decided to hang him out to dry. And that's, when you look at what the media did, that's kind of what happened to you.
Yeah, I think Jim deserves accolades for remarkable restraint in trying to deal with that bunch of misfits down there that just go in all directions for all different reasons. They don't deal with facts. That last council meeting I went to when you had your ordinance shot down, there was nobody down there dealing with the facts of the matter. They were dealing with preconceived ideas and pandering to other people and posturing for future political purposes and all that stuff. They're dishonest. They absolutely don't deserve any respect. And I think you do great to. I'm surprised you hadn't really gone ballistic down there in that bunch. I think most people would.
Well, that's just the Lord's, yeah, that, if you didn't have help from the Lord, you'd probably smuggle in a 38 or something, I don't know. Let's look at the rest of this. I want to read some of the rest of this contrasting wisdom that's from above and wisdom that is from the earth and from below. Okay, same chapter 3, James 3, verse 14. Let's just read to the next couple verses here. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. Here's what Christians should always be doing is checking your own heart, checking yourself. And say, am I bitter against this person? Do I have a personal issue with them? What is the deal? And if you're not, if you can always kind of keep yourself, it's like taking communion. You examine yourself, it says in Corinthians 11. That you can see what's really in your heart. And don't lie against the truth. If you know if there's a problem there, deal with it. Get it out of your heart. But it goes on verse 15. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now, it's not just earthly or sensual. It's also devilish. In other words, demonic activity gets involved. Evil spirits thrive on things like envy and bitterness and strife. They feed on that. Matter of fact, I didn't write that scripture down. It's right here. It's on down here a little bit. This is the very next verse. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is... Now let's stop. We already established there was envying in the sense of people who want to be policymakers who are not policymakers. And they don't like that. They still want to figure out a way that they can get what they think is right when it's not their place to do that. Their place is to be an employee and do the job that they were, you know, their job description had said. Where envying and strife is, there is two things: confusion and every evil work. If you have confusion and every evil, you have a meeting and you walk out of the meeting and you go, you know, that was an hour meeting and I can't really tell you what happened, or I don't think we accomplished anything. I'm not even sure I could tell you what we talked about. I mean, it was confusing. Or every evil work. They're going out and they're purposely not doing what we agreed upon to do. That means that where envying and strife is, that means there's envying and strife involved. That's what it will result in. So you start working your way back and investigating, and you find out, there's pride. Remember what we read in Proverbs, where the pride is where contention comes from. So Okay, what are they being prideful about? Oh, I see. They want to be the boss. And they are kind of ticked off that they're not the boss. And they were going to try to be the boss anyway, even though they don't have the position of the boss. Once you see it clearly, then you can begin to deal with it. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When you have a peaceful atmosphere, you accomplish things in meetings that bring peace to the whole, you know, that's what government should do. The government, having government should create peace. If it's God's kind of government, it makes everything rest and peace and everything's fine. But when you have these other things, the source of it literally is devilish. And you can sure tell the difference between the two. So, you ever have conflict at work? You ever have conflict in your family? Trace it back and figure out where the pride is, where the envying is, where the lack of respect for authority. And let me say this. If my children don't want to obey me, what are they really saying? They don't want to obey God because God put me over them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the first commandment with a promise that it will be well with you and you shall live long upon the earth if you obey your parents. God said that. So when you challenge your parent, now I'm not saying parents do everything right, but I'm saying if you won't obey your parents, you really have a God problem, ultimately. And until that is fixed, that child will become a teenager and they won't obey their teacher, their coach, and then the next thing is they'll just hear, don't bump your head while they're going in the back seat of the cop car. That'll be, you know, they won't obey the cops either. So we have a lot of fixing to do in our society. But if we follow the Word of God, we can discover and investigate and find out what the problem is. Then we'll be more able to take care of it and fix it. All right. I just thought this whole situation with Jim this week, first of all, I just kind of wanted to family talk it. I think I don't like to not talk about things. Sometimes I want to bring it out. And second of all, I thought it was a great opportunity to discuss some of these kinds of issues and how you learn from them. So you can give them a Bible study if they want to know. Give the Tulsa World a Bible study and see if they print it.
I don't think
no.
Imagine some of these people ought to run for city council if they don't like the way it's done. Well, they're making a lot more money probably than Jim is.
Yeah.
A lot.
Why would they do that?
A lot more.
Yeah.
They should all be fired.
But ultimately, when you look at the whole arrangement, it's chaotic in city hall right now. We have one of the best. He's a Christian man. That's Paul Zachary. He was in charge of engineering. They're making him reapply for his job, just like a new hire. The mayor is under the guise of this investigation from KPMG that's doing it. They want a contract out there to pick up all their dogs, and they're chastising her. That's unequal application of the law.
See, the wisdom that comes from above is without partiality. That's one of the things about God's wisdom and how he operates. It's without partiality, and you don't use your authority as leverage on people you don't like or for some political agenda. It's impartial.
Well, two things. The Constitution says that we have equal protection of the law. And that's good for a laugh these days, because obviously we don't. And that's a good example of what you're talking about. The other thing that's been running through my mind all through this is bad enough. But think about what it's going to be like when Planet Tulsa is implemented and you have more of these little gods and goddesses running around controlling everything.
Yeah.
And
Like the trash.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to tell you about trash.
You know.
Tell you a trashy story.
Well, and it looks like that's coming too.
Well, it is. And honestly, this is again where we investigate in our when we look at things and we follow it all the way back, it's either going to be from the Lord or it's going to be from Satan. There's only two sources. And when you follow this trash thing back, it goes all the way back to Beelzebub, Lord of the Trash. Is what, you know.
That's really scary stuff. Just what you started talking about, that technology and how they're going to use it to wield it over, you know, micromanaging our everyday lives, is just, that's 1984. It's
See, they're going to put tilting next all your recyclables. They take it over there. They dump it in. They sort it out. You don't have to have bins. You don't have to have pickup. Okay.
So if they go with the $40 million and do this whole thing, what will happen to the private business people who now they pick up trash?
They're out of job. And me personally, who don't want to be tracked, we're taking my trash to some kind of gutter that's on public land. And I'm going to stack all my trash up there and say, come at it. I have zero, catch me zero.
So here's the deal. Do you think that the squeezing out of private business is a part of Agenda 21 that's being implemented down through, even at the local levels now? Well, of course that's it's global communism
in front of us.
The independent haulers, I've sat and met with them. I just did it the night before last.
Gene, you'll get a chance here. Just go ahead.
I met them, and they said it won't cost very little, if any more, than it is right now. So the people are happy with it. I just got a call now from a guy about trash, and he says, I like what you're doing. Just get after the trash people, you know.
There's an evil agenda from below, not from above, and it is at work.